Well, welcome back, ladies, to our Bible study segment. This is where we open up the Word, and we are taught from the Word, and today we are back in the book of Romans, and our teacher, Beth Seifert, is standing by with today's lesson. Thank you so much, Beth.
Hey there, Amy. Today we're going to jump back in and see where more of what Paul is talking about regarding the law and sin and condemnation and righteousness and holiness, and we're going to talk about a lot. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Romans chapter 7. We're going to be in verses 7 through 13 today. What then shall we say? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. For I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, "You shall not covet." But sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. For apart from the law, sin lies dead. I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin came alive and I died. The very commandment that promised life proved to be death to me. For sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me and through it killed me. So the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. Did that which is good, then, bring death to me? By no means. It was sin producing death in me through what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin, and through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure. Paul is explaining how the law convicts both believers and unbelievers of their sin. Remember from the beginning of our study of Romans, some people will suppress the truth. That does not mean that the truth is not there, and it doesn't mean that they don't know the truth either. Paul was careful to make sure that his readers did not try to conclude that the law itself was evil. The law was not evil. The law reveals God's standard, His divine standard, and it is to that standard that we are to compare ourselves against, not to the world, not to the Christian next to us, not to our neighbor. We are to compare ourselves to the standard He gave us so that we can recognize our sin, which is any way in which we fail to meet that standard that He has given us. Verses 8 through 9 made me dig deeper. I admit this didn't make much sense to me at first, so I dug. First, Paul is not saying, outside of the law, I never coveted. The law made me do it. We have only to look from Cain and Abel in Genesis, through Joseph and his brothers, through Abraham and Lot, and all the people who came before the law, to see that sin indeed was in the world before the law was given. But consider, it was only after the Israelites had been given the commandment not to make any idols for themselves that they had Aaron fashion a golden calf for them to worship. In the same way, the law, already abused and broken by the sinful tendencies in every person, has also excited more sinful tendencies. The word opportunity in verse 8 comes from the root word aphorme, which means starting point. This phrase was used to describe like the base of operations for armies in war. So sin uses the specific requirements of the law as a starting point or base of operations from which to begin its evil assault. When we are confronted with God's law and we are still unbelievers outside of His grace, our rebellious nature finds those forbidden things, oh, so much more attractive. The forbidden things, by the way, may not have anything particularly attracting about them, but because it provides an opportunity to rebel against God, we're drawn to it in our sinful flesh, in our rebellion. Also in verse 8, as we look at how Paul describes sin as dead, and Paul is not saying that sin didn't exist before the law. No, he's saying sin was dormant, if you will, but not non-existent. Sin went from dormant or dead before the law to awake and alive after the law, but it doesn't end there. Then, when the understanding of the actual requirements of the law, Sin in our lives shows us to be desperately wicked sinners, and we see how we are actually dead spiritually, and our religious credentials mean nothing. So the sin was definitely evident before the law, but once the law came, it was almost as if they'd given the sin steroids, and it was ramped up that much further. Paul is also combating here the idea of some of the Jews that the law of Moses has life-giving power. Now, there's a certain amount of truth to that, in that the Old Testament, the law does come with the promise of life if you obey the law perfectly. But that, however, is the problem. That life that is promised can only come if you keep the law perfectly. And no one can do that. Even while honoring the law, the Jews could not truly and fully practice it. The law has not restrained, but has increased sinful desire. The law did not lead to life, but to death. But the law in itself is good. It points us to God. It shows us his characteristics and what he values. It is right and it is true. Given by God, it cannot be wrong. The fault of the law lies with the sin and the sinner. The law defines the sin, but people ignore God's commands to assert their own independence. They want to be right. They don't want to be told that those things that they do, that they are enjoying, are harmful. Paul tells us that even he who was raised a Pharisee with more than average knowledge of the law was never taught the spirituality side of the law. So he was alive, as in he wasn't a corpse, but he wasn't truly alive. He didn't know what he was missing, even though it was missing. So when Jesus met Paul on that road and Paul's heart was forever changed, Paul saw himself through the eyes of a holy God, and he knew he was a sinful man, not the righteous man he thought he was. His religious credentials meant nothing. He now saw that under the law, he had no hope of becoming a righteous man either. Once he got what the law was really getting at, not just a list of do's and don'ts, Paul knew he was dead in his sins, and he knew he needed a Savior. Sin lied to Paul, told him, it's no big deal, it's not going to hurt anyone, no one needs to know. All the lies that sin tells us, too. But it was and is a lie. Through the law, sin brings death. I recently had a conversation with someone because someone she loves was making the following kinds of statements. Well, I can't believe in a God who would blank. And why did God give that command? At the end of the day, as we talked, I explained that it boiled down to two things. First of all, did this person really believe that God is just, good, and holy? If yes, then at some level we have to be willing to either dig in and find the answers to the questions that haunt us, or get to the point where we say, I trust that you are who you say you are, and I ask that you, Lord, will help my unbelief. If you don't really believe that God is just and good and holy, the question becomes, do you actually believe in the God of the Bible? Or are you believing in a God that you've made? Do you follow the God of the Bible, or do you want to create for yourself your own God? Whenever someone says, well, I can't believe in a God who would, and then they list anything from the Bible, who would destroy all of the Egyptians in the sea, my first thought is, then you must be creating a comfortable God of your own making. Think about it. If you say you believe in the God of the Bible, but can't agree with when he did this in the Bible, there's a problem. The God of the Bible is good, holy, and just. He does not lie. So if you don't agree with him, where does that fault lie? With the good, holy, and just God, or with the sinful human asking the question? We have to stop at those points and decide, am I willing to put forth the effort to dig in to find the answers to these questions? No matter what the answer is? Or do I want quick and easy, comfortable answers that don't challenge me and that I can manipulate to fit into whatever situation I'm in so that I always come out smelling like a rose? At the end of the day, if we aren't convicted of our own sins, We're much more prone to creating our own God, one who always agrees with the way we want things to be, and one who never makes us uncomfortable, but who whispers comforting lies to us while we smile and accept those lies as truth. My question for us all today is very straightforward. Do you know you are a sinner? Do you trust the God of the Bible, even when you don't understand why something has happened the way it has happened? Do you trust that what he says in his Bible is accurate, or do you think that he isn't culturally relevant anymore? Are you buying into the lie that sin tells you that this is no big deal, really, and it won't hurt anyone, or no one has to know? Examine your heart today. Are you still dead in sin, or are you dead to sin? Augustine said, God commands what we cannot do, that we may know what we ought to seek from him. Do you truly measure yourself according to the standard God has given you? Do you know how much you truly cannot do for yourself?
Well, thank you so much, Beth. And remember, ladies, all of the notes and these 10-minute podcasts can be found at naomistable.com under the Bible Studies tab. We will take a break and be right back to talk more about today's lesson.